hello, and welcome to the next segment of Buffalo Who Knew podcast series, which highlights the often underappreciated, sometimes unearthed assets of Buffalo, particularly as it relates to the built cultural and natural environments. I am so excited today to welcome Albert Chow, who is adjunct instructor at the School of Architecture and Planning at UB. But specifically why we're bringing him here today is that Albert is the co-lead with Scott Ruff out of New York City on the very exciting Coles House project. Albert, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So glad to have you. And I'm here, of course, with Newell, my co-lead on this project. So let's jump right in, Albert.
Sounds good.
Let's talk about this project and start with who is Robert Coles and why should everyone know about Robert Coles?
So Robert Tranum Coles, he was born in Buffalo. He went to school first at Hampton University, then University of Minnesota and MIT. He came back to Buffalo to build his practice.
His
architecture practice. He was a black architect in the time. So this was in the 1960s. So, you know, he was first African-American chancellor of the AIA, American Institute of Architects. He was a founding member of NOMA, National Organization of Minority Architects. And he opened up his firm here in Buffalo in 1963. He came back. And so it's a bit strange because as I move through the city, I actually, you know, find interesting buildings. And over time, I'm like, oh, this is actually a Robert T. Coles project. Hmm. And there are these larger than life stories. You know, we're going to be talking about the house, for example. And, you know, one of the larger than life stories is it was designed in 3 months, built in 3 months. It's like, what? How do you do that? Hmm. He came back to Buffalo to build his MIT thesis project. Who gets to build their thesis project? It's like, these are larger than life stories. Mm. And hopefully we can talk a little bit about those.
So. Yeah. So you're not a Buffalo guy. You're a New York guy, right?
I was born in New York City, grew up in Albany, and went to school at Buffalo. So all parts of New York City. Some parts of New York City, I should say that.
All right. So you became interested in Robert how and when? And
okay. So I went to school here, grad school at architecture, and went to New York City, worked for 10 years, and then came back to Buffalo to teach. And it was only at that time the current owner, Omar, was like, hey, he was a former mentor of mine.
He was also the head of, or not, he was at the UB School of Architecture before he left for Carnegie.
Exactly. Mellon. And so he had bought it from Coles. And at that time, he knew I was coming back and he was like, hey, do you need a place to live? And I was like, yes. This is 2020, so the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And he was like, would you want to live here? And that was the first time I learned of Robert T. Coles. Mm. And so at that point, I was like, okay, amazing house.
And I remember Omar and Laura and Jordan Geiger, other architects were using it as a collaborative space at that point.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And it's like these other lives that this house kind of, you can imagine other lives, people coming together, hanging out, but also building together. So, you know, and it was that moment where, you know, I was enamored with the house, but soon, and it's like this pulling of the thread to learn about, hey, he built this MIT thesis project, you know, how did he do that? And so starting to unpack how this happened and realizing how he worked with the community. He's from here, so he knew people and he really was invested in the public, in public projects. And so if you look around, there's over a dozen buildings by Coles in Buffalo. For example, most every single UB student, University of Buffalo student, will have walked through the alumni arena on North Campus. Mm-hmm. That is a building by him. Mm-hmm. So
what year was that built?
I don't know.
era, basically, 80s.
And so, and probably need to be fact checked. But, you know, these are the buildings that, you know, we pass through every day. And we want to start looking at them a little bit closer.
So you're living in the house right now?
So I am living in the house right now.
That's pretty incredible. And when you say that you were initially enamored with the house, what was, can you tell us a little bit about when you first walked in, really what made you so enamored with it?
Yeah, so it is, people would say this is a mid-century modern house. So design in 3 months, built in 3 months.
And for those not in Buffalo, it's built into a very historic neighborhood. So predominantly the houses are early 20th century, right?
Yep, totally. So it's in Hammond Park Historic District.
Which Robert was formative in helping to found, right?
He actually, you know, put in the application. And actually one of the people that we're working with is Keisha Patterson. So this is a larger project. It's not just me. Keisha Patterson actually also worked for Robert Coles, Robert T. Coles, and, you know, worked on the Meriwether Library, worked on this historic preservation project. And she, you know, is a practicing architect, in part, you know, through his mentorship and leadership. So these are the larger, you know, stories that kind of, once you start pulling on that thread, you start learning about. But back to the house, you know, it's a very simple house, quote, simple. Some of the stories that come with it. So it was built in 1961. He was coming back again to build his thesis project. And it's on Humboldt. So when I, you know, show the house, I actually start outside and look at, I point to all the porches that are along the highway, essentially the street. And they're all facing the highway. Reason why they're facing the highway is because this used to be the Humboldt Parkway, part of Olmsted's tree-lined streets. He knew the highway was coming
purportedly in. The grandest of the parkways that he built, that Olmsted designed for Buffalo, was the Humboldt Parkway, which, for those who aren't from Buffalo, was, you know, had a highway plowed through it in the 50s.
Yeah, 50s, 60s.
And, you know, is a big point of contention right now, because, you know, and we won't get into too deeply into it in this program, but it could either, it's at a pivotal point where it could either be reconstructed as a grand parkway, or we double down and keep it as a highway. And we're at that pivotal point right now. So, you know, as you were starting to say, you've got most of the houses have their porches facing what had been.
And when was Cole's house constructed?
1961.
Okay, what is the positioning of that house as opposed to the porches along the?
So he, you know, when you walk by the house, it looks essentially like a blank brick facade. He turned his back to the highway, so the porch is actually facing the back, and it's a beautiful garden in the back. And there's these large trees, and all windows for the most part face away from the highway. And a living unit.
If that doesn't tell you something right there.
Yeah. Right, sure.
So this was, you know, it's like a dialogue, but it really is a resistance to the highway being coming in. And there are historic photos, and they're just mind-blowing, of, you know, framing one of the trees that was part of the parkway before it was removed with the house.
So this is amazing. This house speaks to not only architecture, but it speaks to a movement. It speaks to environment. It speaks to so many things. So I can see why there is such an enormous amount of interest in this house.
What? So then, you know, the 3 months, it's a prefab house. It's part of Tech Built. So he actually worked at Tech Built after graduation from MIT.
Tech Built is a company.
It was a company. And, you know, there's a modern day versions of Tech Built, you know, prefab. You build all the different components. It's a little bit like a DIY project.
Sort of what Sears had done.
Yeah, Sears had done that. And then this is, I would say, probably the next generation, you know, more quote modern in terms of layout. They really thought about, you know, keeping the stairs, kitchen, and you know, services really contained, and then so you can always change the other, you know, blocks. So you can add more house, you know, rooms if you needed to. You can grow as your family or people grow. And so, you know, this is a kit of parts, and all of that, you know, in the beginning for $10,000, wow, which is like
in 50s money.
Yeah, in 50s money.
Yeah.
But still, this idea that housing can be affordable and it can be affordable through design, you know, these are some of the ambitions and the utopian ideals that, you know, modernism and architecture can strive towards. And how do we think about that, you know, in contemporary times?
Which is incredible because it's certainly come back again. Yeah. There are a number of companies here in Buffalo right now that are embarking upon that same sort of process, which is incredible.
Yeah, totally.
And was the idea that one could, I mean, did Robert T. Coles have an idea to expand upon the designs and move them around and you know, was it an amorphous thing to him?
Yeah, so it's interesting when you start thinking about, this is a prefab house, like, what makes this unique? What makes this special? I mean, we already talked about the first thing where, you know, he turned the house portion away from the highway. You know, so architecture talks to not only the buildings around it, but, you know, highways and parks and things of that nature. But also, this is a house and studio. He built his practice out of that house and studio. There's a studio portion of the house. And so, you know, there are historic images and video, Buffalo History Channel, where he has drafters in that room in the front. So again, you know, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but if we envision the future, this could be a place for people to gather, to work, to design, to talk, you know, have exhibitions.
What a great segue. We're into what happened. So what is the Coles House project? What does it become exactly as you're speaking to?
Yeah, again, this is a big project. We have other people involved. So we really want to, you know, build, you know, it's not out of only one person. So Scott Ruff is one person that I've been working with a lot.
He's from Buffalo, lives in New York and teaches at Pratt?
He teaches at Pratt. And, you know, Keisha has been instrumental, you know, and this is all just kind of building the community that have, you know, he had fostered as well, Safira, and there's a newer generation from UB, you know, Ryan, Samindi. We are also part of a larger network called Dark Manor University. These are a network of educators that really want to think about how do we engage in, you know, some form of design justice, which we can vision, you know, a better world for the future, but also work on it. And so,
are there any other initiatives of that type in Buffalo right now? I mean, specifically around design justice. I mean, I've certainly heard about social justice and environmental justice, but I haven't heard design justice before. That's great.
So, you know, everyone has their own specific definitions. And I do think there are movements, you know, how do we think about equity? How do we think about, you know, reallocating or thinking about resources, you know? And so we had talked about a little bit about the highway and the damage that that's caused. In addition to that, there's many people in the East Side, for example, that are also working on, you know, not only the highway, but also, you know, the African-American Heritage Corridor, you know, Jefferson Business Association. Like, these are larger efforts that people are coming together to try and, you know, not only respond to what has happened in the past, but, like, what's the condition now? What are all the other arteries that are needed to kind of rebuild a bit,
reconnect?
And I'm hoping the Coles House, so the Coles House project, I think we have like multiple missions, if that's okay right
now. Of course, yeah.
One is to simply, you know, preserve and steward the house, so mm-hmm. take care of the house. But when we're doing this, you know, how can it also be a place for an exhibition, for other, you know, gatherings there? So
maybe co-work.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's essentially, I think there's two bedrooms, right? Maybe there's a conversation that can happen between two, you know, practitioners, for example, mm-hmm. if they come in for a residency. So, you know, preservation and stewardship, but really thinking about how can we activate this space.
Maybe we put a politician in one bedroom and yeah. designers in the other, and the politician has to stay there for a weekend, gets to stay there for a weekend and gets immersed into that environment.
So you're not far off in how we're thinking, because, you know, we think about design, but, you know, how do we think about urban planners? How do we think about writers, for example, researchers? Like, this is not just thinking about building buildings, but like historical legacies, like stories that are not untold, which is, you know, what this podcast is also about. Not untold. Mm. Not told.
Yeah. Untold, yeah. Untold.
Well, the Martin House is doing a lot of that right now. You know, they have a resident artist. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's enough of that going on in Buffalo. So I think that this really would lend itself to something that is completely needed yeah. in the city.
Well, so let's talk about the Martin House, because I know that you've received some grants of recent, which is super exciting, really creates some legitimacy around what you're doing. And it's been under the umbrella of the Martin House, correct?
Yeah, so, you know, we've been working with the Martin House. They've been amazing. And, you know, Jesse Fisher, like, she's been amazing. Their team has been amazing, Corey. So just, I guess this is a little shout out. But yeah, we are applying as the Coles House Project. However, we did not have 501c3, so mm-hmm. we just needed a fiscal sponsor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd say them understanding the project and talking to us, they were all in. And so they've been really helpful.
Which is incredible, because it's as if they don't have enough on their own plate.
Yeah, they've been doing a lot. They've been engaging a lot. They've been testing many different things. They've been very open. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have experience that I think we are leaning on right now.
I've worked with Jesse very closely for many years, and truly a force of nature, as is the rest of her team. But yeah, so it doesn't surprise me that they got it, that they've helped you run with it. So who are the foundation money? You've received a couple of, you know, Mellon grants.
So we have a Mellon Mellon Foundation Humanities in Place grant, and that really is to form the 501c3.
Mm-hmm.
We've been working to develop a mission, vision, values, really thinking about what the house can be, and really thinking about not only nationally, which Coles was, but also locally, Hamlin Park also, and also the east side of Buffalo. What can architecture do? These are big ambitions. So that grant also, we're developing a strategic plan, mm-hmm. and we, like, as important, we're bringing people into the house. You know, we want to be very intentional. So first we're talking to people that knew Coles, and have been inspired and worked with him, for example. We're right now, opening up the house to our neighbors. So Hamlin Park Historic District, they've been wonderful. You know, I'm not from the area, so right now we're just building relationships.
And what's the temperature? Are people interested in the neighborhood of having a little house, museum space, cultural space?
When they see the house, everyone gets enamored by it. You know, these views out the back park, into his backyard, where these amazing trees. So I think, you know, But as important as the house is, you know, the over a dozen projects that are out in Buffalo, you know, his project, he has built in Buffalo. So like, how do we think about the house, but in relationship to the larger context?
And he also has buildings in D.C., doesn't he?
D.C., Rhode Island, Atlanta. Like, so, you know, he really pushed to expand his practice. He was, I like to say, clever, you know, thinking about, you know, the opportunities, like looking at the limitations, for example, building along a highway. But like really thinking about, you know, a design solution or a design strategy to try to mitigate some of these things and expand.
So as far as the positioning of the house and living there, I know that he flipped it. It didn't get built facing the freeway, but it got built so that all of those windows face the west, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So.
No, east.
Southeast,
but there's also, most more oriented towards the south, but there's also windows that face a courtyard, that as you walk in, from the street, there's a sculpture courtyard that he has there.
Okay. I guess where I'm going with this is that in the middle of winter with all that glass,
yeah.
Is there any heat retention? Like, I mean, does it take advantage of the sun?
So, it does, number one, but maybe back to the point of, the second grant, National Trust for Historic Preservation, partnership with the Getty, Conserving Black Modernism. This grant has been looking at buildings that, Black modernists have built. And it's not only houses, it's been churches, been public buildings. One of the things is that there has been a lack of funding to preserve these houses, and either they've been, or these buildings, and either they've been demolished over time because of lack of maintenance and all these things. This is trying to make an effort to provide funding for, you know, creating a document, you know, a plan moving forward. So we are looking, we're going to study the house, thermal insulation. It's a flat roof. So, which has
bold choice in Buffalo,
but you know, imaginative futures, you know, and actually
he foresaw global warming clearly.
Exactly. Well, but I, you know, I worked in New York City, and all of the buildings that I've worked on, flat roofs. So, and they're not necessarily completely flat, so it's possible. But so that, you know, we're gonna look at some of the, you know, the windows, the insulating properties, how do we thermally buffer it? In general though, the house is in okay shape, you know, but it does definitely needs, you know, some tender love and care, so. Hopefully this other grant will give us, you know, allow us to do the drawings and the thinking about how do we restore this, but also thinking about how do we occupy this? Like, what do we do there? So
right now you are broadening, you know, awareness of it in the community, and which includes neighbors, and just, you know, there was recently a press piece done on Buffalo Rising, but you're raising money. Yeah. You need to buy the house.
Yeah.
So how much are you raising? How much is it going to cost?
We have a campaign for $350,000, and we're just working our way through, just to, you know, we have these amazing ideas, and we've been working towards, you know, building, you know, a strategy on how to do some of these, you know, restore the house. We also want to, you know, it can be a design center, for example, where we can bring researchers, people to talk to community and think about, you know, what design could be. And the last thing, we also, again, there's a residency, so our residents. So how do we think about fellowships, residencies, people occupying the space? In order to do all that stuff, we need to buy the house.
And so is there a time frame on this? Or?
Hopefully by the end of the year. It's a quick turnaround time, which, you know, I am new to the fundraising mm-hmm. and nonprofit world, mm-hmm. but I did work in an architecture firm. So, but, you know, urgency helps, you know, light a fire under us. So
you are in the deep end.
We are in the deep end.
Yeah.
And we are excited. And, you know, we're just trying to take that next step. Follow us. We have a Instagram. We have a website now. We have another site that has, you know, not only us. It's interesting because people are always like, why have we known about him? But when you start looking, there are other people that have read about him, talked about him, and, you know, written about him. So we're trying to stitch those all together.
Does he have family still in Buffalo?
So this is, we have been reaching out, and so we're trying to make those bridges. He definitely has a lot of friends and neighbors that everyone I talked to around there are, yeah, I know of, Robert T. Coles. I know the Coleses. So this is also, a home. So Robert T. Coles and Sylvia Coles. So we've been reaching out, and trying to build those connections as well. So
to close out the program, let's and you know, which is germane to this program, let's think about something that's an untold, unknown factoid. I mean, you've presented already a number today, and just building again the awareness of this important Black modernist architect is very much in line with the Buffalo Who Knew theme. But is there a specific factoid that you'd like our listeners to know about?
I was thinking about this, and this is not mine. So Keisha Patterson tells this story. And again, Keisha is worked with Robert T. Coles, Mr. Coles. She tells this story where he loved to sail. So there was one time, I believe he capsized his boat and it was picked up in the news. And the news essentially labeled him first as an activist and then an architect. So he was really proud of that, for lack of a better term, label, because he really believed, you know, the practice, and his practice was advocacy and activism first, and then, you know, architecture as a vehicle for that. So
amazing. That's amazing. Yeah, what a great way to end this. So Albert, all the best to you. We'll be following very closely how this progresses, and you have an open house coming this Saturday, I believe, so
yeah,
people can come see the Coles house firsthand. But what an incredible project, great addition to Buffalo, you know, direly needed, and we look forward to seeing this succeed.
Amazing. Thank you so much.